Good morning to each of you here today. Over the course of the morning, there will be eight people baptized here at Faith. And baptism is basically an acted out parable that tells the story of what has happened to a person spiritually. When a person goes under the water, we're saying that this person has died, has been buried with Christ. When they come up out of the water, it's an expression that they have been raised to newness of life. And when we do baptisms here at Faith, we pre-record a portion of their testimony, of their story about how they came to Christ, some of the influences in their lives. And in a few minutes, you'll be seeing that video. There are actually not any being baptized in this service. There are three in the next and then five in the last service. But before we watch the video, I want to give a kind of a brief perspective on baptism. And I'm going to be reading what Paul wrote about baptism in 1 Corinthians 1. So if you have a Bible, turn there to 1 Corinthians 1. We'll begin in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1, 10. Paul writes this, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." This is God's word. And so Paul got this report, as we read, and he heard that there were divisions in the church at Corinth, that there was quarreling among them. And here in 21st century America, we kind of take that for granted, right? Well, of course, there's going to be divisions in every church. There's going to be quarreling in every church. It's kind of our version of intramurals. We're all part of the same body, but sometimes we like to divide up in teams and kind of go at each other. Well, when Paul heard that there were different teams in Corinth, it was very troubling. That is not normative for the body of Christ. He actually said that compromises the gospel of Christ. And apparently they had formed factions based on their loyalty to different teachers. They lined up behind different teachers. And by saying, "Well, I follow Paul," they were basically saying, "I'm superior to those that follow Apollos." And so they differentiated themselves to kind of assert their superiority. They did the same thing with spiritual gifts. There were some who said, "Because I have these spiritual gifts, I'm superior to others." Well, Paul's conviction was that their only hope for unity was to focus on their common loyalty to Jesus himself. And so in verse 13, Paul begins by asks a series of rhetorical questions to make this point. He says, "Is Christ divided?" Well, obviously, no. Therefore, the body of Christ should not be divided. He asked, "Was Paul crucified for you?" No, Paul was not crucified for you. Therefore, no one should make their identity focus their identity on Paul, but only on Jesus who was crucified. He says, "Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" He said, "No, you were baptized in the name of Christ." Or as Jesus said in Matthew 28, "You were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so the Corinthians' perspective on baptism must have been especially distorted, because Paul continues to drive home his point. Look at verse 14. He says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius." So these two individuals. so that no one may say that you are baptized in my name. He said this, I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. And he said, beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. I kind of take comfort in the fact that Paul couldn't quite remember everything he had done. But he could, as far as you know, he didn't remember that. But he could only recall these two individuals in one household. And apparently Paul's MO, and when he went to different cities, is when they went to a city, they shared Christ. And the initial people that came to Christ, Paul would baptize. But after those initial converts to Christ, others baptized. Paul never wanted to give the impression that you have to go through him to get to God. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. And so Paul wanted the cross of Christ to be front and center. And then he explains in verse 17, he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power, of its power. Now, of course, Paul didn't in any way disparage baptism. F.F. Bruce made the memorable statement that the New Testament knows nothing of an unbaptized believer. Jesus himself said, go, baptize, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so baptism isn't some random optional practice. It's a foundational way that believers publicly declare their faith in Christ. Now, Paul said that when he preached the gospel, he didn't try to impress people with his eloquence. He didn't want that to be the power. Why? Because the message about the cross of Christ is already powerful. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. It's this simple message that Jesus Christ became one of us. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross as our substitute to pay for our sins. He died, he was buried, he was raised on the third day, and now he's enthroned at the right hand of God. And so when a person comes to Christ, and each of those being baptized today is declaring, I actually believe that. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for my sin. And because of the gospel that I believe, my sin has been separated from me as far as the east is from the west, and I have experienced this new birth. I am a new creature in Christ. I have a new nature. I have new appetites. I have a new destiny. And by God's grace, I will walk with Christ throughout this life and into eternity. And so that's what every believer says. And so whereas the Corinthians wrongly emphasized how they were different from each other, baptism emphasizes how all Christians are exactly the same. Namely, all Christians believe in the gospel of the cross of Christ. Therefore, baptism is an expression of our unity in Christ. Whatever differences we may have on non-essentials, whatever differences we may have in the way that we apply the Scripture, the way that we live out our faith in Christ, we all have this in common. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He is our Savior. And baptism declares that. It's one of the things I absolutely love about baptism, and the Lord's Supper for that matter. It's one of the things I love about baptism because it reminds us how the differences we have as Christians are absolutely trivial compared to what we have in common. Paul said in Ephesians 4:5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Baptism is an expression of our unity in Christ. And so rejoice as we watch this video, short snippets of different stories, and be reminded that God still does the miraculous work of the new birth through Christ.